And the morning show in progress here at AM 1420 Radio WAMV. Our time right now, 20 minutes before the hour, 20 before 9. Then we're joined by Keith Dane, Senior Advisory on Advisor on Equine Protection for the Humane Society of the United States, to talk about Tennessee walking horses and a certain practice that's involved sometimes in the industry called soaring. And that doesn't mean soaring like a bird. And Keith, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Good to have you here. I know that the walking horses are pretty big in this area of the country, also, I guess, in Tennessee, around Shelbyville, being, as I remember, a big big center for walking horses. But how do they explain a walking horse to people who aren't familiar with that and actually what's involved in the training of a walking horse?
Sure. So the Tennessee walking horse is a beautiful breed of horse that has a fantastically smooth gait. It's one of the smoothest riding horses in the world. In fact, I grew up riding and showing and raising these horses when I lived in western New York. But there's a segment of the walking horse industry that isn't satisfied with that gait. They want to see the horse step higher for the show ring. And back about the 1950s, trainers in the breed started experimenting to get that horse to do a higher step, and they found that they could get the horse to do that step by developing the gait using a painful soaring practice, which means the horse is sore, essentially, in its limbs. So the goal is to create pain in the front legs of the horse so that it lifts its front end up higher and squats down in the back, and does this artificial gait known as the big lick. This is accomplished by a number of means, but most commonly by applying caustic chemicals like diesel fuel or mustard oil or kerosene to the lower limbs or the pasterns of the horse's legs, the front legs, and then wrapping them in plastic wrap, which drives those chemicals deep into the tissue and causes great pain. Then when the horses are ridden, they wear these heavy chains that bang against that inflamed tissue and cause even more pain, causing the horse to really step high and squat down behind and produce the gait that's winning ribbons and show rings around the South in this breed.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, it sounds really awful. So, and it sounds like cheating, really.
It totally is cheating. It's not only unfair, but it's terribly inhumane as well. In fact, so much so, and the problem got so bad in the 1960s, that Congress passed a federal law known as the Horse Protection Act in 1970. And the goal was to level the playing field, to get rid of the cheaters, but also to protect the horses and end the cruel training and practices that were involved. Unfortunately, there were violators in the industry that found loopholes in the law that allowed them to continue to abuse the animals and not get caught doing it. So, the U.S. Department of Agriculture has been trying for the last 46 years to end this practice, but the loopholes have allowed the violators to continue. So there's actually a federal bill pending before Congress that would amend the Horse Protection Act and tighten up some of those loopholes and bring this practice to an end. It's got huge support from across the horse industry and the veterinary community, and in fact, more than half of the members of both the House and Senate have co-sponsored the bill, which means they'll vote for it if it comes up for a vote. Unfortunately, there are a few key, well-placed politicians in Congress that are in a position to block the bill, and they have because they represent people in the industry who are doing this to the animals. So we haven't been able to get a vote. We're going to keep pressing for a vote. But in the meantime, the USDA, which, as I said, enforces the law under the Act, has the ability through its own regulations to tighten up some of these loopholes and do a lot of what the federal bill, the Prevent All Soaring Tactics Act, would do. So back in July, USDA proposed a federal rule, a regulatory change, that would get rid of all of the devices that are used in the soaring process and get rid of the industry self-regulation that the department has had to rely on for all these years, and replace it with a system of independent third-party licensees that the department itself would train and oversee. That rule is under a current comment period, public comment period, which ends next Wednesday, the 26th. So your listeners and the public have an opportunity to be a part of the solution to this by weighing in with USDA and letting them know that they want them to move forward and implement this rule quickly after the comment period closes. And you can find information out about that on the Humane Society website, which is humanesociety.org/HPARULE. That's HPA rule. And you can comment there. The comments will go directly through our website to the USDA. We need as many people as possible who care about the welfare of animals and just fair play and competition to help us get the message to USDA that we want them to do this. The time is now. It's been over 40 years, really almost over 50 years since this has been going on. It's a heinous practice, and you know, I quite often equate it to cockfighting or dogfighting. It's just so gruesome and so intentional in terms of the pain that it inflicts on these animals. It's got to come to an end.
Boy, that's amazing. What percentage of the walking horse industry is probably involved in soaring?
It's actually a very small percentage, relatively speaking. There are several hundred thousand Tennessee walking horses in the country today, and we estimate probably 15,000 or so are being tortured in this way at some point in their training or their lives. But it's still a large number of animals, and, of course, none of them should have to suffer this way. You know, these animals quite often can't even stand up in their stalls without being whipped to force them to get up because they're in so much pain they just lie down in their stalls and moan and groan in agony. It's horrible. Yeah.
That really is. That's just terrible. Well, you'd think the industry would simply, if they knew that was going on, simply not give ribbons for that, but it's just too bad that they still do.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the judges at the horse shows are trainers themselves, and so you know they like the look that this gait produces, and it's the only way to produce this extreme artificial gait. They like it, they're addicted to it, and they want to get rewarded the next time they're in front of one of their buddies who's also a trainer. So it's sort of a self-perpetuating cycle that has just gotten worse and worse over the years.
Wow. Well, that's great. Give us the address again to weigh in on this.
Yeah, sure, Bob. It's humanesociety.org/HPARULE. That's HPA rule.
And the HPA is for?
Horse Protection Act.
Horse Protection Act.
This would amend the Horse Protection Act regulations promulgated by the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Okay, great. Well, I want to thank you very much, Keith, for being with us and letting us know about this, and we certainly hope we get some success.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on, and thanks to your listeners for helping us out.
You're sure welcome. Thank you.